testing. Look at it.
1, 2.
So this is another verse from Isaiah. It's Isaiah 41:30.
Yarutsu, Yarutsu, Velo Yaru, 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 Velo Yaru. Lai, 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 lai. He who puts his trust in Adonai, he shall never falter. He who puts his trust in Adonai, he shall not be moved. He who trusts in El Shaddai, he shall grow the wings of eagles. He shall run and not be weary. He shall walk and shall not faint. Lai, 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 Kobe Adonai, Yahalifu Kola, Yalu Ever, Kena Shari, Yarutsu, Yarutsu, Belo Yigahu, Yalu, Yalu, Belo Yafu. Lai, 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 lai.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! All right. Okay.
I'm going to unplug my tablet.
Tablet unplugging. Shalom in the home. Welcome to Our Yehuda Messianic Congregation for Zion's Sake Ministries. I'm Rabbi Joe, and that was Patrick and Christina Lombroso leading us in marvelous Sephardic worship. Last night, we began our prophecy conference, and Patrick taught us this morning, which all of these videos will either be available if we can, if we're successful in downloading them to video discs, DVDs, you can purchase them through our ministry if you want to get the DVDs. Tonight, Patrick will be talking about the blood red moon coming in September. Am I correct? And the planetary alignment and other things about the prophetic things about the celestial zone, if you will. Tonight I'll also be talking, giving this message that I'm going to share with you now. Of course, it's always different. Everything, it always comes out different every time you do it. But we're going to talk about right now is the beasts of Daniel 7 and Revelation 13 in depth. We touched on them last night, but we're going to talk a little bit more in depth today. And so, Carol, if you have the picture of the four separate beasts to put up on the screen, there we go. So let's turn to Daniel 7, please, if you have a Bible. And it's good, I would just ask that it'll be easier for you to follow if you read along, because this is Daniel and Revelation, and it's not, it's kind of, you got to see it as well as hear it. Now, last night, I taught on the last president of the United States, this newsletter, and I'm not going to teach on that this morning, this afternoon, because if I just encourage you to get it. We have copies of it on CD back there for anybody that would like to listen to it. This is an important message. I will say, if this message is true, basically I'll just say in a nutshell, a year ago February in 2016, I preached a series of three sermons in which we said that Donald Trump would become president 9 months before he did. We said that he would destroy ISIS, which he is trying very hard to do and saying he's going to do. We said that he would destroy radical Islamic terrorism, which he has said many times, especially even in his inaugural address. He said that he would destroy, eradicate Islamic terrorism from the face of the earth, he said, in his inaugural address. And what another thing I said is that he would destroy Iran's nuclear program last night, that he would destroy the Iranian nuclear program. And interestingly, just this week, last week, or give or take, last week or the week before, the Iranians had a boat, a speed boat, come near one of our patrol boats in the Gulf of, in the Persian Gulf, near where the shipping lanes, those are the most important shipping lanes for the United States, because the oil comes that we use comes through those lanes, and so it's a very important shipping lane, and the Iranians are like flies. They're like they're bothering industry, and they're bothering the keepers of industry, the United States, who are making sure that the West gets its oil. The Iranians did something interesting, very interesting, this week, just a few days ago, or maybe on the weekend. They launched a satellite into outer space for the purpose of this 5 days ago, they launched a satellite for the purpose of guiding a nuclear missile, an intercontinental ballistic missile with a nuclear warhead, to its destination, and being able to complete their goal of building a nuclear, an intercontinental ballistic nuclear missile program. which would be threatening to the United States, which would be threatening to Israel, which would be threatening to Europe, which would be threatening to any part of the world they didn't like. Okay? Now, what makes this interesting is that when I preached the original message about Donald Trump becoming president and destroying Iran's nuclear capability, just a week or so before I preached it, or around the same time, North Korea launched their satellite last February, a year ago, and in 2016, they launched their satellite, which will enable them to fire an ICBM out with a nuclear warhead. They have the capability of doing that. Whether they do it 100, 200 miles, you know, to Seoul, South Korea, whether they do it 300-400 miles to Japan, or whether they do it to Hawaii or Alaska or even Colorado, it's been said they have the capacity of hitting Colorado. I heard that one in the news. We are faced with dealing with the nuclear threat of North Korea. But so we talked about that last night. We talked also about that Donald Trump is the pretty much the last hope that I see for the Jewish people to return. The Bible says, according to Tom Hess, that the Jews must return to Israel from the West, from Canada, from South America, from all over the world. But the Jews have made Aliyah from all over the world, with the exception of the West. The Jews returned from Asia in 1948 when Israel became a state. Jews fled Middle Eastern countries, and they were persecuted, and many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews fled countries like Yemen and Iraq and so forth, and Iran, and they came to Israel, and some went other places. When the Soviet Union fell in 1989, when the wall fell down, communism collapsed there in the Soviet Union, and the Jews were freed, and over a million Jews made Aliyah to Israel from that point on, and became the largest group of immigrants in the state of Israel in modern times. Now we're seeing Jews fleeing Europe. Patrick is from Paris. The second largest group of immigrants to Israel currently are the French, and I fully expect we'll see Jews leaving Europe from many other places. But anti-Semitism is on the rise in the world. You can verify that. Just go to the Anti-Defamation League website. Any other Jewish organizations that would track that. The ADL is a good one. Anyway, so anti-Semitism is on the rise, and that is going to be the precipitator of the Jewish people leaving the United States. And one of the reasons the Jews have to go back to Israel is because Jubilee, and many say this is the year of Jubilee, that 2017 is a Jubilee year because it's the 50th anniversary of 1967 when Israel took back East Jerusalem. And so some people argue and believe that this year is a year of Jubilee. I don't dispute it, you know, but I don't, not dogmatic about it either. However, in the Jubilee promise of God, the Jewish people must return to the land in the year. And at some point in time, there must be a restoration of the land to the rightful owners that God has given the land to. So the Jubilee commandment of God is that the Jewish people inherit the land forever. In Genesis 15, that God promised to Abraham in Genesis 15, as far as the Tigris and Euphrates down to the brook of Egypt, that the Jewish people will dwell in the land of that goes all the way to Iraq, all the way to Egypt. It's in Genesis 15. And they will inhabit it forever. The descendants of Abraham. This is the Abrahamic covenant. This is what God promised Abraham, that his descendants would inhabit the promised land forever. And that has yet to be fulfilled, because we have not inhabited the total land mass that God gave us forever. We've had it for brief periods of time. Some say that when King David was king, that his empire, his nation, extended that far. Maybe when Solomon was king. But since David or Solomon, it has not, the Jews have not possessed all that land. And so the Jews from the West, because of Jubilee and restoration, God's promise of restoration of the land to its rightful inhabitants, that promise must come to pass because God said so. So the Jews must leave from the West. And so that was one of the things we talked about last night. We'll talk a little bit more about it. But let's pray about this message. Now, today we're going to talk about the beast of Daniel 7 and Revelation 13, and talk about the United States in prophecy. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this word now. Just bring forth your message to us, and empty me of Joe, Lord, and bind the strong man, and give us ears to hear. Help us to remain alert and awake for this message, and then give us some rest as we come, before we come back tonight, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay, so in Daniel 7, he has a vision at the very beginning of Daniel 7. We read, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his mind as he lay on his bed, and then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. So where is Daniel? He's in Babylon. And it says, Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. The four winds, if you look at the bottom of the picture here, you see the sea, the ocean, okay? You see the spray of the ocean there. You see these beasts. So Daniel, I was looking, saw the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and in the Bible, the ocean, the sea, the great sea represents the Gentiles, the nations, and it represents the multitudes of the nations is what it is metaphorically. Okay, and it says, and four great beasts were coming up from the sea. So four great beasts were coming up out of the Gentiles. Now, prophetically speaking, a beast represents a nation. Okay, so prophetically speaking, beasts can represent other things in the Bible, but prophetically they represent nations. And the first one, it says in verse 4, was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. Can we go to that lion with the wings of an eagle? Daniel 7, 4. You got to do that slideshow thingy. You just click. Keep clicking. There you go. Right there. Okay. See, so we saw, and Daniel, he says, the first beast was like a lion that had the wings of an eagle. Now, I kept looking, he says, until its wings were plucked and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was also given to it. So let me just point out, first of all, as we said last night, that we showed last night that the beast of Daniel 7 is the same animals, are the same beasts of Revelation 13. And they're the same beast, except the beasts become one creature in Revelation 13. There's a confederacy of nations, a unity of nations in Revelation 13, whereas in Daniel 7, these nations are not unified yet. They're separate. Interesting thing about Daniel 7's lion, he has wings. In Revelation 13, the beast, the lion has no wings. So now, in every nation has an animal emblem or symbol of every nation. So, for example, Ethiopia, their symbol, animal symbol, is the lion. Several other countries have an animal symbol in modern times as the lion. But the one that in time of Daniel, Babylon had the lion as its symbol, was the symbol of Babylon with the eagle's wings. Okay, but Babylon doesn't exist anymore. So today, when we look at these animals and the nations they represent, we have to look at them in the context of modern times. So I'm so just to show you that prophecy, and this is for the folks watching on video, just to show you that prophecy of Daniel has to do with the end times. Let's go back to the beast we saw before, the four beasts of Daniel 7. Okay, you see those four beasts, the bear, the leopard, and the dragon. So I'll read. The first one was like a lion, verse 4. And he had wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked. It was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on the feet like a man. A human mind was also given to it. Behold, another beast, a second one resembling a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth and its teeth. There's the bear with the three ribs in its mouth. And thus they said, "Arise, devour much meat." After this, I kept looking. Behold, another one like a leopard. There's the leopard. And which had four wings of a bird on its back. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. That represented Persia in its time, in the time of Daniel. Today, and in there was a time in Germany had the leopard was its symbol. The leopard is still a symbol of Iran. The leopard, not with the wings, just the leopard, is the symbol of the state of Iran. Is their modern beast symbol? Okay. And then the final one, he says, after this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying, extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. He's over here. Had large iron teeth, and it devoured and crushed and trampled down and remained with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had ten horns. Okay? 10 horns. So a horn, as we said last night, is on a beast. A horn on a beast represents a king, a ruler, or in our generation, a president, a dictator. And a horn on a beast is used as a defensive weapon. It represents a form of self-preservation to protect itself from aggressive predators. It's also an offensive weapon to use to kill and to maim. For example, in a bullfight, the bull uses its horns to make the bullfighter very unhappy if he gets stuck with the tips of the bull's horns, which can kill you. And anyway, so that's what the horns represent, rulers, and each horn represents a different ruler, a different king, and a kingdom. Okay? So now that we've seen all these four beasts, please, let's go to the next beast with the lion and and turn to Revelation 13, please. Just click through that slideshow. Just click, 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 click. There you go. You'll get right to it. Yeah, there you go, right there. Okay, Revelation 13. Okay. So now, just to show you that beast, what Daniel was talking about wasn't just for the time of Daniel, but that it has to do with the end times, here in Revelation 13, after the judgments of the seal judgments and some of the other judgments that take place in the book of Revelation. After those judgments, we see this beast coming up out of the sea. So let's look in Daniel 13, verse 1. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns. Remember the horns from the other beast? Hello? Amen? See the 10 horns? And 7 heads. On his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. See, like a leopard. And his feet were like a bear. And his mouth was the mouth of a lion. So he has like the face of a lion here. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And the dragon, as Revelation 12 tells us, is Satan of old, is the dragon who gives this beast this his power. So what do we to glean from this? These are the same animals that we saw in Daniel 7. Capiche? Same animals, but now it's a confederacy. It's a confederacy, a union of four nations with 10 horns. So there's 10 other nations involved, at least, that it represents. But it's got the beast, the bear, and the leopard, and the lion, and the are all unified as one. As one creature coming out of the sea, out of the Gentiles. So guess what? It's definitely not kosher, because it's not Jewish. Whatever these beasts are, they're not Jewish. Israel is not one of them, because it's coming out of the sea of the multitudes of the Gentiles of the nations. So we know that one thing we know is this is not Israel, but another thing we know also is that what Daniel saw. So let's go back to Daniel 7. That the beast that Daniel saw was the same beast, pretty much, as the one in Revelation 13. Thus, as I said last night, there is prophecy that is fulfilled, such as the virgin birth. We said the virgin birth has only one fulfillment, where Mary gave birth. The Virgin Mary gave birth to her son Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. That had one fulfillment in history. That was a singular prophecy. Actually, it was it did have a precursor, a forerunner in Isaiah chapter was it 7? Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, what verse? Where is that in Isaiah?
It's in Isaiah
7:14. I think it's Isaiah 7:14. It says, behold, a virgin shall conceive. So the prophecy, and there was a woman, a maiden, who gave birth to a son in the time of Isaiah, and that was a sign, to the prophet. It was a sign to the king of something God was going to do. So there was a foreshadow of the birth of the Messiah. So there's prophecies often have dual fulfillments and can be don't just necessarily have to do with the time when they're taking place. So Daniel's, if we go back to Daniel's beast, let's go back to the lion with the wings. Now, we said that in the time of Daniel, the lion with the two eagle's wings represented Babylon, but Babylon doesn't exist anymore. And it says something interesting here in Daniel 7, verse 4. The first beast that Daniel saw was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. So the wings... When we see the lion again, when we meet Mr. Lion in Revelation 13, he has no wings. So those wings represent something, and we're going to get to that. Okay, so let me let me go on. Let's just leave that up there. And so we talked that the last president of the United States. I encourage you to read that article again or get this tape if you haven't, because that's what we talked about last night about the last president, Donald Trump, and his plans and what God's going to use him for. But in this message, I'm going to share my understanding on America's brief appearance and purpose in the prophetic scriptures of Daniel 7, Revelation 12, and 13. That's the purpose of this message, is to explain America's brief appearance and purpose in the prophetic scriptures of Daniel 7, Revelation 12, and 13. Although this is a prophetic revelation, the basis for the understanding of these scriptures must be supported with classical theological interpretive methods. Read on and pray about my conclusion and decide for yourself whether I'm telling you straight, okay? Now, first of all, in classical prophecy teaching, and prophetic teaching, a beast, as I said, may figuratively be a symbol of a selfish, tyrannical monarchy with military power for defense or offensive purposes. The four beasts of Daniel 7 represent four kingdoms. In the apocalypse, the beast obviously... a worldly power whose rising out of the sea indicates that it owes its origin to the commotions of the people. That's as we see in Revelation 13. To simplify, the sea often represents, the sea often represents the multitudes of the Gentiles. Biblically speaking, second, the nations represented by the beasts in Daniel's time no longer exist. So the nations represented by this lion was Babylon, no longer exists. Persia as an empire, which was represented by the leopard, no longer exists. The nation represented by the bear, which is escaping me at the moment, no longer exists because... and I'll have to look that one up because I've misplaced some of my notes from a conference I was at. But anyway, forgive me on that. But we'll find out where the bear came, what he represented in those times. Okay. So the nations represented by Daniel's beasts no longer exist according to Daniel 2:44. Let's look in Daniel 2:44. Assyria was the bear? Okay, thank you. So the bear in Daniel's vision was Assyria, and today Assyria is Kurdistan, and essentially Nineveh is part of Kurdistan, and it's a very relatively weak nation with little influence or little power, can't even defeat the Turks. You know, so going back to, thank you very much, Daniel. in Daniel chapter 2 verse 44 it says, in the days of those kings the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it itself will endure forever. So God's saying in Daniel 2:44 that all the beasts that he saw, the nations, they will be destroyed, and they'll be replaced by the kingdom of God. So we know that. So let's go on. All right. So therefore, as we examine prophecy in the light of the end times, we'll be looking at modern nations whose animal symbols coincide with the animal symbols of kingdoms in the time of Daniel. This is an end time prophetic interpretation. Okay. For example, in Daniel 7, the prophet had a vision of a lion with eagle's wings growing out of its side, which later are plucked and disappear. Some traditional interpretations say that the lion with wings represent ancient Babylon, but we see the same beast mentioned again, as I've already shown you in Revelation 13, when the lion is specifically identified as part of the Antichrist Empire. Therefore, Daniel 7 pertains not only to the ancient Babylonian Empire, but also to the end times empire of the Antimessiah. And thus the beast pertained to end time nations. Daniel 7 is a dual fulfillment prophecy. Daniel 7 is a dual fulfillment prophecy. Okay, this vision. As we said, beasts in the Bible often represent monarchies or nations, which include superpowers, coalitions, or empires. In modern times, such as the U.S., Russia, China, or Europe, virtually every nation has a national animal symbol. If you Google national animals of countries, you will find pictures of animals of various nations. For example, Germany's is the black eagle, Spain is the bull, England is the lion, as is Ethiopia, Russia is the brown bear, and Iran is the Persian leopard. Now, that has stayed true all the way through. The leopard has always been a symbol of Iran. However, in the time of Daniel, it had dominion over the world. It had four wings and four heads representing power and dominion over the world. That is no longer the case. The leopard of Iran does not have those four wings anymore. Okay. The brown bear, England is the lion, Russia is the brown bear today, Iran is the Persian leopard, China is the panda bear, and interestingly, China is the dragon. Now, it's clear that many nations, but because people don't believe that dragons are real, even though they are, Puff wasn't, but dragons do exist, and his name is Satan. And he is the dragon of old. Revelation 12 tells us that the dragon is Satan. Okay? So dragons do exist, but as far as I know, there's only one. His name is Satan. And anyway, so, okay. It's clear that many nations share different varieties of the same animal as their symbol. But we will focus on the symbols of major political power players today, and you will see how the animal symbols match biblical prophecy. So let's look at the beasts of Daniel 7. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. Okay, let's go back to that lion, please. Let's examine the lion with the eagle's wings that are plucked. The U.S. is represented by the bald eagle. Our national symbol is the bald eagle, right? Okay, in end-time prophecy, wings attached to a beast can also represent that a nation has flight capability or air power of some nature. In this case, the wings grow out of the lion. The wings grow out of the lion, which is a modern animal symbol. The lion is the modern animal symbol of Great Britain. I believe this lion represents Great Britain, and the eagle's wings represent the United States growing out of the British Empire. That the lion represents Great Britain in modern interpretation, and that the two wings of the great eagle represent the United States. And it says in Daniel 7, the wings are plucked. So when we get to Revelation 13 and we see the Antichrist, we see the beast confederacy, there's no more, the United States is not part of it. And that goes along with what I said last night about the United States being divided at the end of Trump's presidency into four separate smaller countries. It fits that picture. So the wings will be plucked. The second beast in verse 5 describes a bear which has three ribs in its mouth. This beast, many say, represents Russia. The three bones possibly represent three major wars in which its opponents are devoured. Number one, Emperor Napoleon with his invading army was defeated. Hundreds of thousands of French soldiers and I don't know where he got, where whoever Napoleon used as soldiers, he got his, you know, he conscripted people. They died. They were defeated by the Russian winter, by cholera, tuberculosis, typhoid, you name it. And the second Russian defeat of a major military was the Nazis. They invaded with the intention of conquering Moscow. They were bogged down by the Russians in the Russian winter. Essentially, they were defeated by the Russians over a war of attrition and hunger and starvation and winter, and hundreds of thousands, maybe over a million, maybe millions of German soldiers were taken prisoner and died. Hundreds of thousands died because of the Russian winters and sickness, and the same reasons that killed Napoleon's army. So Hitler made the same mistake Napoleon did. We don't know who the third, if I'm correct about the ribs, we don't know who the third, it's possibly the United States. The third rib that the bear devours may be the United States. Okay. The third beast, in verse 6 of Daniel, like a leopard which had on its back four wings of a bird, the beast also had four heads and dominion was given to it. In ancient times, the leopard was said to represent the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great. But in relation to the end times, the leopard is symbolic of Iran, whose national symbol is the leopard. So that's interesting. I stand corrected. It was the Greek Empire that the leopard represented, not the Persian. But of course, Alexander did conquer the Persian Empire, so it actually was the Persian Empire and the leopard, they met. But in relation to the end times, the leopard is symbolic of Iran, whose national symbol is the leopard. The four heads and the four wings speak of its aim to conquer the four corners of the earth through an air power superiority of some sort. The fourth beast in ancient times referred to the Roman Empire. That was the one Daniel saw with the ten horns, and he was so... He was so disturbed by the vision that he couldn't deal with it. He couldn't cope with what he saw, and he didn't know what it was. Okay, so prophecy teachers say that the fourth beast represents the Roman Empire. Behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong. It had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different than all the beasts that were before it, and it had ten horns. Daniel 7:7. Daniel did not gain a full grasp of the fourth beast, but it is described in much greater detail in Revelation 13. In Revelation 13, the four beasts have become one, a confederacy of one, a unity. And the dragon, Satan, stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw the beast coming up out of the sea, having ten horns and seven heads, and on his heads were ten diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw, as we said, was like a leopard, and I won't read the rest because we already read about the beast of Revelation 13. So this is proof that Daniel's vision not only pertains to the time of Daniel, possibly, but it pertains to the time we're living in now, the apocalypse. The end of time, the end of days. Okay? All right. So I want to focus on the lion. In this scripture, notice that the difference from the lion in Daniel 7, where we see here, this is the Daniel 7 lion, which has the wings of the eagle. Daniel saw the lion's wings being plucked in Daniel 7:4. And then you see in Revelation, let's go to the other beast, please, Carol. Yeah, you were there. Yep. Okay. He has no wings. So the wings are gone. Okay. The plucking of the eagle's wings represents the end of the USA as we know it in end time prophecy. The United States is the eagle in end time prophetic terms, and her appearance is very brief in the Bible. Nevertheless, the Bible says that she does something really incredible before her power is broken. And I'm going to share that with you. If you read part one of this newsletter, you will see that I explain, which is what I taught last night, why the next president may be, which this was written before Trump became president, that why the next president, Donald Trump, will be the, I believe, will be the last president of the United States. If I'm correct, Daniel chapter 8 prophesies that our country will be broken up into four weaker nations after the president successfully defeats ISIS, Iran, radical Islam. Please note, according to my teaching on Daniel 8, the U.S. isn't destroyed completely, but rather it is severely weakened after the next president defeats ISIS, Iran, Islamic Jihad. And then America will be broken into four weaker nations, according to Daniel 8, 21, 23. Okay, so now let's go back to talk about the plucking of the eagle's wings, of the lion's wings, which are eagles. In review, Daniel sees a lion with the wings of an eagle in Daniel 7, 4, and then he sees the eagle's wings plucked, loses power, and we see the same lion appear in Revelation 13. As I said, there's no wings. Several years ago, I was fasting and praying, and I heard God speak to my spirit, saying, America's finest hour is yet to come. America's finest hour is yet to come. With all the trouble in the world and in our own country, I found it hard to believe that things could get better. But I believed God's word to me, and I have been sharing that word. Incidentally, not that we gauge blessing necessarily by prosperity, but since Donald Trump's been president, America, wealth has increased by $4 trillion in America. Wealth has increased by $4 trillion. It came out yesterday, or they released the figures Monday or Friday. The GDP is 2.6 in the second quarter of this year. In the last quarter, the gross domestic product of the United States, the last quarter of 2015 and the first quarter of 2016, the gross domestic product of the United States was 1%. That's recession. That may even be depression. We are, I think, 3% or above, I think, is growth. And we're at 2.6%. In Trump's first quarter, we were at 1.3%. So he is essentially, under his stewardship, doubled the gross domestic product in 6 months' time. Okay, which is something else we predicted in our letter, in this newsletter last year, that when Trump becomes president, the economy of the United States will flourish and grow amazingly. And that is taking place, whether you support him or not. This is not a political message. It's just a fact. Okay, so I had a revelation from God, I believe, through prayer and fasting, that America's finest hour is yet to come. This was several years ago. With all the trouble in the world in our own country, I found it hard to believe. I was not an optimist about it, about this country, 6-7 years ago when I got that word, that things could get better. But I believe God's word to me, and I've been sharing that word, that America's finest hour is yet to come. I've been sharing it on Facebook and anywhere I go, that God gave me, you know, that telling people that God gave me that word. And ever since, I believe that we are headed for 7 years of prosperity, like in the time of Joseph, until the end of Donald Trump's administration, followed by 7 years of tribulation. Followed by 7 years of tribulation. Whether it's the great tribulation, what tribulation, you know, as it says in the in Matthew 28, Matthew 24, I think in verse 28, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the clouds, and so on and so forth. After the tribulation of those days, could this coming 7 year period after Donald Trump, I believe after his second term, because we're into his, he's only got seven and a half years left now. So could this next 7 year period, or eight, after he's gone, be, you know, the tribulation. It's possible. It's possible that Matthew is speaking of. It is possible. Okay. Now, interestingly, if you relate it to the blood red moons and the tetrad, the four blood red moons that came 2 years ago and 3 years ago, if you relate the blood red moons and you believe what Joseph said, that these things will happen in succession because their meaning is coming quickly. The fulfillment of the word is coming quickly. So that the reason for the tetrad is to tell us that the tetrad means the four consecutive blood red moons on biblical feasts, which hasn't happened, I believe, in 500 years, and it won't happen again for I think another at least 500 years or more. That the message of that bottom line is the tribulation is coming soon, quickly, is what God is saying. That is what I derive from that, you know, the bottom line. Okay, so let's go on. So why must the next president defeat ISIS? And that president is Trump, because this was written before he was president. Why must President Trump defeat ISIS, Iran, and radical Islam? The reason is because there is no prophetic reference to Israel being completely destroyed in the end times. And this is why I believe God will stop Iran's nuclear missile program. Consequently, Iran's ability, and by the way, when we sanctioned, the UN sanctioned Iran and the U.S. Sanctioned Iran in Congress just a few days ago, Iran said the treaty that Barack Obama made with Iran is broken. Iran has officially said that the treaty to stop weaponizing uranium and to stop their nuclear weapons program, they said the treaty's broken. That was last week. So the reason is because there's no prophetic... Why must Iran be stopped? Because there's no prophetic reference to Israel.
I did not find the answer to your question.
Who's your daddy? Go away. My watch was talking to me again. Sometimes I get lonely, you know. Okay. So why must the next president defeat Iran? Well, as Donald Trump said, we have the capacity of turning North Korea into a piece of charcoal. And we have the ability to turn Iran into a piece of charcoal. But Iran has a greater significance than North Korea, because God will stop Iran's nuclear missile program. Consequently, Iran's ability to launch nuclear missiles must be stopped soon if it is to be stopped. As I am writing this article, which was a year ago in May, of 2016, inspectors had found evidence that Iran is making nuclear weapons. Duh. If Iran were able to actually annihilate Israel, listen, Shema, if Iran were able to actually annihilate Israel, God's word would be untrue, and that would make God a liar. We don't see Israel turning into charcoal in the Bible. We do see Israel invaded twice, at the Battle of Gog and Magog and in Armageddon, twice in 1,000 years, Israel will be invaded again by foreign armies, by the world. Nations will invade Israel. But we don't see evidence where Israel is. In fact, in Jeremiah 30, verse 10 down, if you read the paragraph 10, 11, 12, 13, it says... Jacob, God talks about Israel and Jacob. He says, though I will destroy all the nations where I've scattered you, Jewish people he's talking to, I will completely destroy all the nations where I've scattered you, and Jeremiah 30, verse 10 and down. He says, but I will not complete, I will not destroy you, Israel. I will not destroy you, though you will not go unpunished, he says. I will not destroy you completely. That means that there's a day coming when the only safe place to be and the refuge for anybody who wants to be, survive is not going to be in a bug out place in the mountains of Montana or in the mountains of Colorado or Western North Carolina or the mountains of Tennessee. It's not to be have a bug out here and be off the grid and have 20 years of food supplied. If you want to survive, you want to go to Israel. That's the place you're going to want to be. And we're going to talk about that again. Okay. So if Iran were able to actually annihilate Israel, God's word would be untrue, and that would make God a liar. And God is very jealous for his reputation. Iran is constantly boasting about nuking Israel and erasing it from the map. And I believe that these threats are real. But I also believe God is going to use the USA to halt this flood of evil destruction aimed at Israel. Why has God allowed ISIS to infiltrate our country, committing mass killings on American soil like Orlando and San Bernardino and other places, the Boston Marathon bomber and other attacks, the Tennessee military recruiting center, which was shot up and people were killed. It is partially to get Americans to the point of frustration that we elect someone who will really bring the fight to ISIS, and we did. We elected Donald Trump. In this foolish pact with Iran, which just happened this week, this was written over a year ago, and take action to stop their nuclear weapons program, which we will do. God's word says that Israel will be invaded but not totally destroyed. See the battle of Gog and Magog and Ezekiel 38 and 39, and again at Armageddon, Revelation 16, 13 through 16. One of America's last greatest acts before she is defeated is the destruction of ISIS, Iran, and other like entities. The USA's greatest act. In Revelation 12, please turn to Revelation 12. And I'm almost finished. Okay, so at the beginning of Revelation 12, we see a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown, 12 stars, and she was with child and cried out, being in labor, in pain to give birth. Okay, so this is super, kind of supernaturally in the spiritual realm. A sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with glory, and the moon under her feet. That means Islam under her feet, okay? Islam also indicating Ishmael and Esau under her feet. And on her head, a crown of 12 stars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and pain to give birth. Now, we know that in the flesh, that woman is Mary. Miriam, who gives birth to the Messiah. But in verse 3 it says, then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. Oh my! There's the beast of Revelation 13. Now that confederacy of nations, which has its authority from Satan, and it even is called Satan here, the dragon, it says, verse 3, then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Well, if you read the story of the birth of the Messiah, there's no dragon standing in front of her. There is a king. And his name is Herod, and he tries to stop the he tries to stop. He doesn't try to stop the birth. He actually tries to kill the baby Messiah. And so they flee to Egypt to hide. They're warned. Okay, let's read on. Verse 5. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God in his throne. That's Jesus, Yeshua. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. Well, that's very, quite possibly, you know, that's Mary and Joseph. And maybe they were in Egypt for 1,260 days. You know, is that 3.5 years? I have to add it up. But anyway, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. So we go back to heaven. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And let me tell you something. When the devil has a short time, you have a short time left on earth until the Messiah comes. When the devil has a short time, we have a short time before the Messiah returns. And that's not a bad thing. It's just a fact. Because when the Messiah returns, the devil is going to be locked up for 1,000 years. Amen? Okay. Okay, then it says, in verse 14, this is very interesting. But the two wings of the great eagle, everybody said two wings of the great eagle. If we can go back to the other lion, please, Carol. But the two wings of the great eagle, maybe we have an eagle. We have a picture of an eagle. But the two wings of the great eagle, America, were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Okay, so the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly. There's the great eagle. John, the Revelator, had never seen one of those. He didn't know what that was, but he was seeing it in the spirit, and prophetically he was having a vision of this, something like this, and all he could say is, the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman. Who is the woman now? Is it, she's Israel, the woman with the 12 stars representing Israel. It's no longer Mary we're talking about here. We've gone from the dragon pursuing this woman. And the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for time, times, and half a time in the presence, from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water. Now here's how we know we're not talking about Mary and Joseph, because it says, and the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman. We don't read that in the book of Luke, do we? Or in the book of Matthew. We don't see the devil pouring water out of his mouth at the Messiah. Amen? So that he might cause her to be swept away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Yeshua, of Jesus. Okay? So that's those, I believe that's speaking of the messianic believers. Those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Speaking of the messianic Jewish community. And so this woman, the woman has now become Israel. at the Israel of God, which includes believing Gentiles grafted in who sojourn and dwell with the Jewish people and are connected to Israel. So now let me go on here and conclude. So the USA's last greatest act. In the beginning of the chapter, the woman is clearly Miriam, Mary, the mother of Jesus. But later, when the dragon shows up, John brings us to the end of days, and the woman is now representing Kol Yisrael, all Israel, all Jewish people who come from the loins of Jacob and his 12 sons. John had no understanding of airplanes, so he described this amazing transportation tool as an eagle with great wings, which was given to the Jewish people. I believe Christians will be included in this transportation, those who are Zionists and love Israel, love the Jewish people, to fly them out of the United States before the coming collapse at the end of this presidency, which of Donald Trump, before this country is divided into four separate nations, and the great exodus, the great Aliyah from the West, must take place during these next 7 years, 7.5 years, I believe. And this is because I can't foresee any, according to prophecy in Daniel 8, about the ruler who, after he completes his mission of destroying Iran, his life ends. And if I'm right that goat of Daniel 8 is Donald Trump, and I don't wish him any harm, but if I'm right about him being the goat of Daniel 8, then I can't see him being followed. And if America is broken into four nations, Aliyah must take place from the West before that happens, along with the destruction of Iran and their nuclear capability. And along with the destruction of radical Islam must be broken. Its back must be broken. ISIS must be broken. Why? Because, first of all, Psalm 83 tells us it will. Isaiah 13 through chapter 19 or 20 tells us it will. Jeremiah 50-52 tells us of the destruction of Islamic nations and judgment. That says that Babylon will never be inhabited by human beings again. Damascus will no longer be inhabited by humans again. Lebanon will be charcoal, the Bible essentially says. And so these nations will be the haunt of jackals and hyenas and foxes and vultures. That's what's going to happen to the Islamic nations who have terrorized Israel for thousands of years. Okay, so this must happen. John had no understanding of airplanes, so he described this amazing transportation tool as an eagle with great wings, which was given to the Jewish people. I believe Christians will be included in this transportation, not all Christians, but those who have understanding, to fly them out of the United States before the coming collapse at the end of the next presidency. John chose an eagle, not a falcon or a vulture, and I believe the eagle represents the USA. The timeline for this could be 3 to 8 years, but no more. And that was written, this was written a year ago. Please note, I'm not talking about the second coming of Christ or placing a date on the return of Jesus. I am talking about America in Bible prophecy, for the record, for the folks at home. This is not talking about the second coming. I'm talking about the future of America. Time is running out. So the two great events that I see happening during this presidency of Trump, the last presidency that we will ever see in the United States before we're broken into four separate nations, before our currency is changed, no more dollar. We're seeing this very week, even today, the mark of the beast on August 1st. Today, I don't know if it's the mark of the beast, but it looks pretty close. It looks like it could be to me. is being implanted in the hands of over 50 employees of a company somewhere in the Midwest that has chosen to put RFID chips so they can come and go and enter their workplace and buy food at the cafeteria and other things for identification purposes, is happening today on this Tish B'Av, on this 9th of Av. The mark of the beast is starting to be implanted in citizens, not just in the military or pets, as it has been to this point. Okay, so time is running out. The two great events that I see happening during this presidency are the return of the Jewish people to Israel by American jets, possibly commercial. What I see happening, and I've always seen, I've seen for 17 years, I've seen jumbo jets flying Jewish people, like John said, the two wings of the great eagle, flying the Jewish people. And my wife is a pilot, and so I see her as a type and shadow of the woman being given the two wings of the great eagle. She's a pilot. She's a big jet pilot, you know, and I don't see things. It's not saying that she is the woman in the prophecy, but she's a type of the woman, because that's our calling is Aliyah, and she is, I believe, called to fly Jewish people back on jets. And that's one of the things God has for her and for us. We're not going to be the only ones to do it. As I said, it would take 6 months if you used every jumbo jet in the airlines to fly 6.7 million Jewish people back to Israel. It would take 6 months of nonstop flying of jumbo jets. If you added all the Carnival cruise ships in the world, in the United States, our Carnival cruise ships is owned by Israelis, it would take 3 months, sailing 24/7, flying 24/7. What I didn't equate with our strategic analyst when we did this equation for the 6.7 million Jews, and that's just one figure, we didn't equate the U.S. military. We didn't equate C-130s. We didn't equate... I always wondered, how would we safely transport over Europe? How would we get jets full of Jews and Christians to Israel without getting them blown out of the sky safely, especially with people over there who hate Jews and having shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles from the ground, or even not just shoulder fire, just anti-aircraft batteries on the ground. How would we get them there? Three cheers for the red, white, and blue. Da 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 da. I believe the greatest act of the United States was when Donald Trump helps the Jewish people return, like the Berlin airlift, magnified 100 times. When U.S. military jets, along with commercial airliners and stealth bombers and B-52s, whatever those big B-1, B-52 bombers, and fighter jets, aircraft carriers. We just launched the Gerald Ford, I believe, aircraft carrier this past week. We've got our added another aircraft carrier to our arsenal, and we're building more. I believe we're going to see a chain of ships and planes and refueling and protection to protect the Jewish people as our government, as Donald Trump, who has a Jewish son-in-law and a Jewish daughter now, by conversion, helps the Jewish people go back to Israel. Is the last great thing that the greatest act of America that this nation will accomplish before it's finished, and before it collapses. Anti-Semitism is on the rise, and I expect, based on expert information given to me, that enough terror here in the homeland will cause Jews. In fact, the Homeland Security Secretary that just became the Chief of Staff of President Trump is a four-star retired four-star Marine general, said many times, I've heard him say in the last months, if you knew as much about the terrorist threat as I do, you wouldn't leave your house. If you knew how much of a threat we were under, he said, you wouldn't leave your house. That's what he said. And you can look that up. General Kelly, Secretary of Homeland Security. And now, Chief of Staff to President Trump. So I expect, based on expert information given to me, that enough terror here in the homeland will cause Jews to want to leave America as they are leaving France and Europe for Israel. The second great event before the USA is divided into four weaker nations, according to Daniel 8, 21 and 23, will be the defeat of Iran's nuclear capability and the defeat of ISIS and Islamic Jihad in general. If the Antichrist is to come out of the nations, and the nations represent Russia, England, remember, England is separating itself from Europe. And Russia, England, if the dragon represents China, and if the leopard represents Iran, you know, which in these are some of the, you know, the axis of evil countries, although England hasn't been, but is becoming more and more, less and less of an ally, let's say, than it was, okay? I'll take 1 second. Just hold on. Hold that thought. I'm almost done. The defeat of ISIS, Islamic Jihad, and the Antichrist cannot come out of Islam. The Antichrist is not going to be a Muslim. That's where I'm going with this, and I'll put money on it. You can pray about it, but the Antichrist is not a Muslim. He's not coming out of Syria, as I've heard proclaimed many times before, as Waleed Shobat believes he's going to be a Muslim. There's not going to be a strong Islam. Islam has to be defeated. The Bible says so. And who's going to defeat it if we don't? Who's going to defeat Islam? Nobody. We're the only ones. Us together with Israel and maybe Australia and any allies that want to help us, you know, some of Europe, if they ever wake up, want to help us. We're the only ones who can defeat Islam, radical Islam. And it has to happen in the next 7 years. But the Antichrist is not a Muslim. He is not represented by that beast that you saw, and that beast with the leopard and the bear's claws and the lion's face, which represents England to me, and the leopard's body, which represents could represent Greece or Persia or Iran. But even so, although the Antichrist, it's a confederacy of nations, and I don't see its powers given by the dragon. I don't see it being, by the way, the lion is the head, that's the brain. The brain is the head of a lion. And then there's 10 other nations attached to it. I don't see it being a Muslim. I believe it's going to come out of the four countries where the small horn, if you read Daniel 8, it will come out of the broken up United States. But I'll leave you to figure out who that is. You have to pray and ask the Lord. And if I'm right, like Joseph of old, we have 7 or 8 good years coming. I believe that the man running for president, which this was a year ago, will win, and that was Donald Trump, because of the message of Daniel 8. This is not a political endorsement or message, just my interpretation. If Mr. Trump, who is a big capitalist, wins, which he did, and this was published in June, July of 2016, if Mr. Trump, who is a big capitalist, wins, I expect wealthy people in banks who have been sitting on big piles of cash will become optimistic and that we will see the economy explode with growth and jobs. This will continue only for about 7 years. When the president is subsequently removed, as the Bible indicates, we are in for an economic collapse in 7 or 8 years and tumultuous political upheaval all over the world. Times will be tougher than they have ever been for the United States when Trump's when the resist movement finally succeeds in taking him out, and in the end they will somehow. The turmoil and the upheaval of losing, he'll be the symbol of wealth and success, and when he falls, you'll see the stock market collapse. You'll see the world economy collapse. You'll see the world depression, a great world depression, because Trump is bringing wealth to the nations again, and it's going to collapse in 7 or 8 years, 7.5 years when he's gone, and we're going to see the globalists, multiculturalists, the diversity people, the borderless people, the one world government people take over. They're going to take over, and there's going to be such a backlash from them because they hate what Trump stands for, that anybody who is a gun-toting, Bible-thumping, deplorable Trump supporter, God-fearing person will not be able to have meetings like this. I believe the Bible will be, our First Amendment rights will be gone. Remember, when the U.S. is destroyed, there'll be no more Constitution. If you're in a country that allows you to have First Amendment, those rights, those First Amendment type rights, will you be able to read a Bible and have the Word of God? Only if you're in a country after Trump's gone. If we're broken into four countries, as I see, then there won't be a constitution. You may not have a right to bear arms. You may have to take the mark of the beast at that point. I'm talking about 7 years, 7.5 years. So a lot has to happen, and it's going to happen very fast. Things are moving very, very quickly, my friends. And you got to think about, and I urge you to pray, what will you do when Trump is gone? One thing to consider, and I'm not telling you to do this, but is selling your assets. If you own property and things, think about going to Israel. Israel, as I said in Jeremiah 30, starting in verse 10, Jeremiah 30, 10, on down to the next two or three paragraphs or sentences, talks about Israel being the only nation that survives. Moving to Israel is the Goshen of the last days. If the mark of the beast comes and the man of lawlessness is revealed and you haven't been raptured, you want to think about getting on one of those jets, those two wings of the great eagle, and going to Israel. But in order to do that, you're going to need to sell your assets and transfer them out to Israel and start buying, looking for property and making your home there, getting citizenship, which I believe is another miracle that's about to happen, is that Messianic Jews and Christians are going to be allowed to get citizenship in the state of Israel. So these are some of the things that I see happening. We are in for an economic collapse, tumultuous political upheaval all over the world when he's gone. Times will be tougher than they have ever been for the U.S. So like Joseph, I'm suggesting that you pray about preparing as Joseph did in Egypt during the 7 good years. This is the opposite preparation of Paul. This is the physical preparation. And there is a physical preparation too, Patrick, that Paul, just because Paul didn't address it doesn't mean Noah didn't build an ark. But Noah did build an ark, and preparation, there are certain preparations to make when you know, when God tells you what to do. That's the key right there, is what to do with your assets. If it means buying a home or transferring your assets to Israel, selling your property here so that you can, like the children of of Israel in Egypt had their loins girded, their staves in hand, and their sandals ready to go at a moment's notice. They left their homes, packed up their wagons, their donkeys, and their camels or whatever, and they just left with the, you know, with the stuff on their backs, pretty much. And but if we know Israel's the place you're going to go, and you can prepare, you know, pray about it. Ask God if what I'm saying is true. And that's my message for today. So I believe the lion with the two wings, that we, United States, comes out of the lion. Where do we come from as Americans? America, we come from England. You know, we may not be English, some of us, but we come as a nation, a country comes out of England. And our symbol is the bald eagle. And that will be, it makes a very brief appearance in prophecy in Daniel 7 and Revelation 12 and Revelation 13. The wings are gone. Thank you for listening, and go home and get some rest. See you back at 6 o'clock.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. You had a question, dear. I would say, as a surrogate of China, I wouldn't dispute that. What Trump is doing, by the way, is irritating the pants off of many groups. He's irritating the drug cartels. He's irritating the Chinese. He's irritating the Russians. Our government is irritating the Russians. Not so much Trump, but Trump is making enemies of the Mexicans. He's making enemies of the left, of Hollywood, not necessarily because he's such a bad guy, but he has said things to get himself in trouble. And so he's made enemies. And they're not forgiving. I mean, the people he turned off, like, you know, Rosie O'Donnell and Madonna and so forth, you know, they're not very forgiving people or willing to forget. But also these nations, the Mexicans are very angry with Trump. Many, you know, are very, very angry with Trump, and he's made enemies. The drug cartels hate his gut. They want to kill. There's a price on his head. The drug cartels of Mexico. He's stopping their drug trade, you know, and he's killing their business. So so he's got enemies. The Arabs want to kill him. The Islamic terrorists. You know, they want. He's killing them. They want to kill him. So he's making enemies, and you say the dragon, North Korea. Well, we're warring against North Korea. We're at war with North Korea. You know, we are technically really at war. It's a war of words right now, mostly, and showing off muscle. We haven't really started shooting at each other, but I believe that's coming. I think it's coming. I think it's going to be practice for Iran, honestly. We're going to destroy them. North Korea is just a flea. And in the grand scheme of things, compared to the power of the United States, North Korea is a flea in the ointment, and or a fly in the ointment. It's insignificant, and we will destroy them with great. Trump will destroy them and his military with great crushing power. There may be collateral damage in South Korea, as I said last night. I wouldn't recommend buying a Hyundai or a Kia right now, because there may be a parts shortage if their factories are bombed. You know, you may have trouble getting. I'm being tongue in cheek, but it may be true. You know, any other questions? Yes, Sonny. Well, if you have to take, well, first off, you have to take the mark of the beast. The Bible says your name will be removed from the book of life. So don't ever take the mark. Read Revelation says, any believer who takes the mark, their name will be removed from the book of life. So you lose your salvation. Yeah, you'll have to hide. And, you know, I imagine people will survive. Some people will survive hiding in the woods and so forth. But others will be martyred. There's going to be a lot of Christian martyrs. I would say millions. There already have been hundreds of thousands in the Middle East of Christian martyrs. I believe that at some point, whether it's during Trump's administration or in the world, the government, after Trump is taken out, where we will be for Americans or people who live in this continent will be forced to, the whole world, essentially, Western world will be forced to take it. That globalist one world government the Bible speaks of is going to force everybody to take the mark of the beast, and anyone who doesn't take it will probably be martyred. Now, if you're hiding out successfully, I believe somebody will. Yeah, you know, some people will be able to hide. You know, and it's a big country, and some people will make it. But how do you know where to hide? You know, it's going to be very difficult. People won't be able to buy or sell. You won't be able to go out and buy seed. You have to have all your seed. You think all the things you need, you have to have them with you already. and enough to last you at least 3.5 years. Yeah. That was part of the new healthcare thing?
Yeah, that was part of the idea was to make all the insurance.
Talking about Obamacare or the new one?
Obamacare. The whole reason. Oh, don't read what's in it till we just pass it, you know. But the idea of that was not only to have that computer chip, but it was going to cost every citizen, like, I think it's $10 a year or something or whatever, but it was going to raise revenue. But the idea was the paperless medical, you know, you could go in and get your medical care and whatever, you know, all the doctors and all the, what is it, Medicare and everything, you would have to have that chip.
Yeah. Well,
already,
the chips and putting in people's hands in Canada. I don't know. Do you know?
Yes.
I mean,
not just a general thing. I heard the medical soldiers sometimes that. I haven't heard that it was like a general.
That's, you know, Carolyn, that is a wonderful thing, you know, to check for us to check on, and you know, there's so much, but I think that's just a great reason. You know, I'm someone with pre-existing conditions, and the one thing Obamacare has done for me is help me keep my insurance, although it's gone up in price, but they can't throw me off. That I like that aspect of it, but there's a lot I don't know what's in it, honestly. And I don't know what's in the new plan either that McCain voted against, It's only 8 pages, and we really ought to read it. All of us in this room ought to get online and read what those 8 pages were that they voted against. But I'd like to, if you could find out where in the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare, because it's 2,800 pages, where it talks about the RFID chip, I'd like to find out. Yeah, I believe it. You know, I don't disbelieve it.
I can't honestly.
I'm not. Am I still being filmed?
Yes.
Okay. We can stop it.